Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. We'll continue our discussion on the subject of praying in the Spirit this evening. Praying in the Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now, we've been here a while. We know that. That's all right. That's all right. We'll finish this eventually. Amen. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, several weeks ago, it seems like at this point, I had a diagram, okay, where we talked about some of the prayer, the relationships in this matter of prayer. But we know that apart from the work of Christ, there is no relationship. Apart from the work that He did on Calvary, there is no connection. We were alienated from the Father. We were strangers to the covenants of grace. We had no connection between us and God. In fact, the only prayer of a lost man that God hears is, Father, save me. I'm a sinner. But upon our salvation, then we got a new relationship. And this diagram shows that in a very simple form, that the Father works in us and through us by the Spirit. And the Spirit is our indwelling God. Amen. The Spirit provides wisdom and guidance and power to us, primarily through the Scriptures. And then, as we provide or we give back to the Father holiness and obedience and submission, we find that that prayer connection is complete. That we ask, God hears, God answers. Amen. Now, we did talk a little bit about that little switch right here. Or this, you can be a switch, it can be a circuit breaker, but there are a number of things that will open that. And what is the primary thing that will open that switch? Sin. Sin. Just as we were alienated from God by sin, even after the relationship is restored, sin breaks the connection, breaks the fellowship. Brother Scott, never mind. Brother Scott, I know he's never been mad at his children. Let me find somebody who's been mad at his children. Okay, not Chris. Okay, Brother Jack. All right, Brother Jack on occasion has been upset with his children, all right? And I thank you, Brother Jack. I needed a volunteer there really badly, okay? So I appreciate that. And what happens when that happens? When Brother Jack is upset with his kids, okay? Now, in Brother Jack's case, he may tell them about it. But usually the fellowship is broken. The relationship stays intact, but the fellowship is broken. And the only way that that fellowship is restored through is confession and repentance. Confession, repentance, and cleansing by the blood of Christ. Now, we've talked about essentials to prayer. And first of all, we say in order for our prayer to be effective, we have to pray in Jesus' name. Now remember, that was much more complex than simply tagging in Jesus' name on the end of a prayer. All right. It's He who allows us the privileged prayer. It's by His authority and the power that He's granted us as children of God that we come to God in the first place. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Next, our prayer has to be according to the will of the Father. And if you'll think back to the last message that we preached on this matter of prayer, it was how to determine God's will. Okay? Anybody remember any of those steps and how to determine the will of God? Okay, you got this. Is quiz time. Sean, give me one. How do you determine the will of God? You pray about it. That's the last one, okay? Okay. Give me another one. That's one of them, though.
Read about it.
Amen. Study the Scripture. What is another very, very key component of knowing the will of God? Huh? Who's Ivan? Yes. Okay, and that is related to praying about it, okay? Remember, Kristen knows. What is it, Kristen? Confess and forsake all known sin, and then there was one more that I'm interested in hearing, okay? No will of your own. Now, folks, those are four things that are not hard to remember, okay, but are very important to having a successful prayer life. Okay? Praying according to the will of the Father. And then finally, I want you to flip over to Jude. And we're going to see that not only do we pray in the name of Jesus, according to the will of the Father, but we are admonished in the Scriptures to pray in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk to a little bit tonight. Jude, that's the last one before Revolution, right? Jude, yes. Jude chapter 1, since there's only one, and verse number 20. The Bible says this, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit in prayer, really, the Holy Spirit is the key to prayer. It has to be based on the work of Christ. It has to be according to the will of God. But it is the Holy Spirit who is the intermediary between all of those connections. That's why in our diagram, He shows up right in the middle between God and man. Folks, it is the Spirit that really enables and aids our prayer life. It is He who provides us access to the Father. He prays for us, and He always prays according to the will of God. Amen. So let's just spend a few minutes tonight. I'm not going to be long. A few things about how we pray in the Spirit. First of all, look at back at Ephesians 6:18. We just said we pray in the Spirit because the Spirit helps our prayer life. Now, this whole section on prayer and praying in the Spirit is a subsection, you'll recall, of spiritual warfare. So we're talking about, we're in the book of Ephesians, and we got the spiritual warfare, and in spiritual warfare, we got to the weapons of our warfare, and that's prayer. So you know, I'm coming back to Ephesians, okay? I mean, you know that, right? We're not finished with that, okay? But if ever we as Christians are standing on a battlefield, it is when we begin any prayer in the Spirit. Anytime we step on to pray, we are in a battle. Now I'll give you an example. Okay, you try to pray. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever experienced this. You try to pray, and every single distraction possible goes chasing between your ears. Amen. All right. Yeah, that's exactly what happens to me. You know, like you sit down to pray for Aunt Sally. Okay, and it reminds you that she's got a cat. Okay, Aunt Sally's got a cat, and then you think about the cat, and you say, "Oh, there's a mouse in the church." And I need to get a mousetrap, but at the hardware store. Oh, when I'm at the hardware store, I gotta go across the cleaners and pick up my suit. And before you know it, you're just mumbling to God. Now, this happens to me, okay? I'm embarrassed to say this. The same thing happens to me in my Bible reading. I'll be reading along, and off will skate my brain, okay? And I can read a chapter and not know anything that I just read. Now, I have learned in my old age to go back and read it again. Amen. Now, those of you who haven't learned that yet, go back and read it again. It didn't do you any good the first time. Okay? Amen. But hey, the devil hates prayer. That's why there's a battlefield. And he doesn't care how eloquent you are. He just cares that you're praying. Folks, the devil knows. He's not too much worried about how much you understand about how prayer works. He's only concerned that you're doing it. And he will do anything that he can to stop it. If there is a child of God on his knees before the throne of God, then everything bad happens for the devil. There is victory on our knees. There is power on our knees. There is provision and direction and wisdom on our knees. And the devil does not want us to have it. So, folks, it's a battlefield. Now, what we need to understand is that to pray in the Spirit is to have his help when we're there. And folks, if without it, we're just not going to get it done. We're just not going to get it done. If Jude, back to Jude 1, and it talks about that in building up in prayer. Verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." When we talk about building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to enable us to reach to God. Listen, when we're praying, it's the Holy Spirit who will guide our thoughts down the path they need to go down. Folks, the Bible tells us, he tells us, he is the wisdom of God. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us what we need to pray about. It is the Holy Spirit that brings the Scriptures to mind that we're praying over. How do we know something is the will of God? The Bible says it's the will of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who says, pray about this. Pray about this. That's what you want to be praying about. That's something that's according to God's will. That's a prayer that's going to get answered. It's the Holy Spirit of God who gives us assurance that our prayers are heard and that He is controlling all of the answers. Folks, first of all, we need to learn to pray in the Holy Spirit because He is aiding our prayer life. Okay. Second, Ephesians 2:18 says something else about the Holy Spirit. Look back there. It says that He gives us access. And now we already talked about praying in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to go back to that. But in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 18, it says, through Him, that is Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, we went through this road. When Jesus died on the cross, when He gave up the ghost, when the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, okay, the way to the Holy of Holies was open, we were granted access to the Father. Direct, unhindered, unfettered, unmediated access. That's one of the greatest privileges of being a Christian. Is I don't have to go to Scott and have him pray for me. Okay? I can pray for myself. Right? And I can only do that because Jesus gave me that access. And not only do we have access, but we don't come as servants. We don't come as slaves. We come as children, as sons. And it's the Holy Spirit who guides us into that. You know, it's greatly significant that the Holy Spirit was poured out on believers at Pentecost and not before. Look at Acts chapter 1. Jesus gave some instructions about this. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the Spirit of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus completed His work prior to this time. He finished His work on earth. He had not yet ascended. He was not yet glorified. And He told the believers to wait there. Wait there until you get power from on high. And He had promised that in John 7, verse 39. He says, but this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, at the day of Pentecost, Jesus had ascended into heaven. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. He was returned to His glory, and the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was granted to the believers. And it is that Spirit that assures us of the access that Jesus purchased. Okay? Let me show you. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. You'll see this. Galatians 4, verse number 6. It says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. It is because the Holy Spirit is living inside me that I have the assurance that I do have access to the Father. That I can pray. And that I can be heard. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit who's working with me, who's helping me pray and giving me the understanding of how to pray. Folks, it is the Spirit that gives us access. It's the Spirit that assures us of success. The Holy Spirit's opened the door to the Father, and we can go. Now, I was trying to think of an appropriate illustration for this, and I didn't want to use one of those father-son things, okay? I've already used the president. So, does anybody remember, boy, I'm fixing to date myself again, I do this all the time, okay? The original Batman TV series. Now, Derek, you don't remember that, brother. That was 20 years before you were born, all right? You know? I mean, the one where there would be, you just see a fist flying and you see Kawong across the screen, okay? You remember that one? All right? Yeah, Josh goes, I haven't a clue what he's talking about, okay? All right, well, Josh, it was such a thing, all right? All right, somebody remind Josh that Brother Steve Lewis remembers it, okay? Now, he was a little bitty squirt, but he remembers it, all right? But there was this connection between the commissioner's office and Batman. All right? It was a direct line
which was called the...
The bat phone. Thank you. I forgot about William up in the booth. The bat phone. Okay, and it's, you know, and boy, is, would it be blasphemy to call the Holy Spirit the bat phone? Huh? Hey, absolutely, that would be blasphemy, right? Okay. No, he is the direct connection. He is the line between us and God. You know, I could be much more dignified. I could talk about the hotline between the Kremlin and Washington during the Cold War. Okay, you don't know about that one either, Josh. All right. Oh, you okay, I heard of that one. All right. Oh, it's a shame you missed Kabong, okay? You know. Kaboom, Kabong. I just love those. All right. But, I mean, that's really the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us that line, gives us that direct connection. You know, Jesus bought it. In order to get our prayer effective, it has to be according to the will of God. But that prayer is aided, abetted, enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit of God residing inside you. Folks, whenever you pray in the Spirit. And if you don't, what are you doing? You're mumbling. Okay, you're mumbling. Folks, the Holy Spirit prays for us. And, you know, this is a wonderful promise of the Word of God. Look back at Romans 8. You know, I just broadcast all over the world that the Holy Spirit was like the bat phone, okay? That grieves my soul, brother, okay? All right. there are some disadvantages to webcasting, amen? Romans 8, verse number 26, the Bible says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And go ahead and read verse 27. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know what? Even if we gain understanding and gain ability in this matter of prayer, we're still going to be fallen creatures. You know that? And honestly, I've had times in my life when I sat down to pray, and I just didn't know what to pray for. Didn't know what to pray about. Didn't know what to ask for. You ever had one of those situations you're praying about? You want to ask God to do something, but you don't know what to ask Him to do. Make it come out this way, make it come out that way. Help this person. Of course, I know none of y'all would pray for God to smack somebody in the ground, okay? But, I mean, sometimes you want to, right? Folks, sometimes we just don't know. And you know what? As long as we're fallen, as long as we're dealing with the flesh, there's going to be a carnal element of our prayer. There's going to be a piece of us that's going to rise up at the worst possible time and go, me, 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 me. Right? And it doesn't matter how old you are, He's there. Folks, sometimes we just don't pray well. Sometimes we don't know what to pray about. Sometimes the flesh, sometimes the world, sometimes our sin hinders our prayer. But there in that verse in Romans 8, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays with us whenever we pray. Now, you know, I always loved reading John 17. John 17. I love reading John 17 because that's when Jesus prayed for me. Okay? I love that prayer. I mean, you read that, you go over the Scripture and you say, and Jesus prayed specifically, not only for those that were with Him, but for those who would believe through their word. That's me. Okay? And I know that if ever in the universe, ever in eternity, there was a prayer that was going to be answered, Jesus' prayer for me was going to be answered. I mean, that's God asking God. And they kind of work together. Well, here I have a situation where anytime I pray, the Holy Spirit is praying with me and for me. Now, I don't know what to pray about, but He does. I don't know what the will of God is all the time, but He does. I don't have a perfect connection with God. I've got to work through the flesh. He doesn't.
And anytime I bow to pray, the Holy Spirit is praying with me. The Bible also tells me that Jesus is my advocate and my intercessor. So that as I am praying, Jesus is helping me. The Holy Spirit is praying with me. You know, it's kind of encouraging to know that when I bow to pray and when I get down in the morning and I pull out my list and I begin to call out to God, man, I got lots of help. I got really good help. God didn't intend for us to walk this thing alone. He knows and He prays. And don't you think that the Holy Spirit is going to get His prayers answered? I mean, really? It's like Jesus in John 17. I mean, is God the Father going to say no to Jesus the Son? Is Jesus the Son going to pray something contrary to the will of God? Not possible. They are God. If anybody knows the mind of God, it's God. Right? And He's not fallen like I am, Hannah. He actually knows what's up there. Amen? And listen, He prays. The Bible says He makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I don't ever hear those. You ever hear those? I don't ever hear those. Okay? So they're not only groanings which can't be uttered, they're probably groanings which can't be heard except by God the Father. And the other part of that is in verse 27, He that searcheth the hearts, the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As the Spirit prays, the Father, knowing what the mind of the Spirit is, hears His intercession, for His intercession is always according to the will of God. He never misunderstands God's purpose. He never misunderstands God's plan. He never misunderstands my need. I may bow down and pray for something that would be the absolute worst thing in the world for me. The Holy Spirit will not make that mistake. And the Holy Spirit's prayer will be answered. Folks, look at 1 John chapter 5. What a wonderful blessing. Sometimes you just have to marvel at the work of God. You know, God knows we're sheep, amen? He knows we're helpless, hopeless, selfish, sinful. And He loved us so much that He died for us. And then He does everything necessary to give us a successful Christian life. God doesn't need our help. But He knew that we needed His. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, we just read that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You know, God in His wisdom chose you. He let the Holy Spirit bring you to salvation. He let His Son die for you. And then He said, I am going to take that person and I'm going to make him like my Son. He said, He doesn't have to do it on His own. In fact, He can't. He said, but I can do it. And I'm going to put the Holy Spirit inside Him. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit come to me with the most essential needs that are in that person's life. And as he prays, I'm going to be glorified in answering those prayers. And folks, you know, it's interesting that even prayer, okay, is up to God. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Prayer. He aids our prayer life. He gives us access to the Father. He prays for us, and He always prays according to the will of God. You know, if I were going to simplify all that and cut it all back, I would say praying in the Spirit is something very, very basic. It means using His connections and His wisdom to pray precisely in the will of God, knowing that He will answer. That is praying in the Spirit. Amen. And that is also the Spirit praying. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of prayer. And I'm afraid we just scratched it. Okay? We just bumped it tonight. But may He teach us what it means and what He does.